Whatever you might be going through and wherever you might be, this is Omar Serrano with the Tilted Lawyer Podcast. I'm here to take your mind off of things. Yes, I'm an attorney. No, I'm not giving you legal advice. We're going to sit and talk like people, as these are the candid thoughts of one practicing attorney, and it's after hours. So have a seat. Feel free to have a drink and join me. Let's get started.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Omar Serrano with the Tilted Lawyer Podcast. So there's been a lot that's gone on since Friday when I was last live. Found out later that day that the complaint against Judge Mata that was filed by David Gingerbread was dismissed. Not only was it dismissed, but it was dismissed way back on January 17th. Why is that significant? Because like 2 weeks ago, our famous Gingerbread was saying this on a YouTube video that he had made. Let me just get out of that real quick and share this with you all. So two weeks ago, and this would have been about a month after the dated denial of the complaint against Judge Mata filed by David Gingras, he was off talking about this.
Phones. I didn't have the volume all the way up. And I just went back, and the part, Dave Neal, you were standing there, and Dave Neal's moved on. He's not making Laura videos anymore, so he won't even see this. But somebody came up to Dave Neal in the parking lot and said that they were sitting there with Judge Mata's dad talking to him. And you can't hear the audio of the woman speaking very well, but if you turn it up and wear headphones, I listened to it today and I heard something I'd never heard before. And it actually blew my mind. She said, and again, you have to interpret because you can't hear that clearly. I heard her say that she was sitting next to Judge Mata's dad in the overflow room and that he was talking to her about the case and that she said he had to watch his words carefully to not give anything away. And the way that she worded that, it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up because it was the closest. I think.
So that was that. He's carrying on talking about how shitty Judge Mata is and how corrupt the whole thing was. And he overheard something and it made him shiver his timbers that people had to watch the way that they were talking in the whatever he was trying to say. So we know now. We know now that on January 17th, it was issued that it was an official denial of whatever he was on about. Let me just make sure that I'm not sharing the wrong thing. So there's this. Yeah, I don't want to share that. I want to share this all. And there's not a whole lot to share, honestly, because it is the policy of the state of Arizona that upon a denial, they're only going to show or publish the first 5 pages of the denial, whatever. Fine. It's just an order. It says the complainants alleged a superior court judge conducted an independent investigation and discussed a case with a family member. The role of the Commission on Judicial Conduct is to impartially determine whether a judicial officer has engaged in conduct that violates the Arizona Code of Judicial Conduct or Article 6.1. of the Arizona Constitution. There must be clear and convincing evidence of such a violation in order for the commission to take disciplinary action against a judicial officer. The commission has reviewed all relevant available information and concluded there was not clear and convincing evidence of ethical misconduct in this matter. The complaint is therefore dismissed, pursuant to Commission Rules 16A and 23A. Commission member Roger Barton didn't participate. Copies of this order or whatever. So these were the first 5 pages, and you can kind of see some of the arguments that Gingerbread was trying to make over the months since the June decision had come out. He tries to state, as explained in the attached notice of change of judge for cause, I have evidence which proves the trial judge assigned to this matter, honorable redacted, we know who that is though, rules 2.9a 2.9c of the Code of Judicial Conduct, among other rules, specifically there is clear and irrefutable, which is, by the way, a pay grade above clear and convincing, clear and irrefutable proof showing that judge conducted an independent investigation into the facts of the case. And following a bench trial on blank, she issued a ruling filed in which some of her factual findings were not based on any evidence admitted at trial. Now, why is this important? On that Twitter post that I just shared, I had left an opinion that I kind of feel like David Gingerbread is the least credible licensed attorney practicing currently, that, well, certainly that I know. Whenever anything has come out of his mouth for the duration of his representation of Miss Owens in conjunction with this case, and now more recently with the complaints against Judge Mata, he went after my friend Lauren Knighty. He went after Dave Neal. Now he's going after this appeal, and he keeps on trying to convince everybody that he's smarter than everybody. He knows all of the things that we're supposed to know because, well, for me specifically, I very famously had a rap battle with David Gingerbread. And in the course of that rap battle, I proceeded to ask questions about, if what you're saying is true, then what are all these cases that saying you're wrong? And then he said that I was dead to him. And I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not an Arizona licensed attorney, which, fair, I'm not. But I can research, and I have access to LexisNexis, which I assume is the same database that he goes for cases. Maybe he goes to Westlaw or some other bullshit. It doesn't matter. Case Text, I don't know. But I have access to all of the cases in the state of Arizona, and I certainly know how to conduct legal research. And in the course of my legal research, I just said, okay, if what you're saying is true, then what about all these different things? I'm not going to rehash it here. To have a legal debate with him. It is an exercise of futility with a guy like that. And when he was, I feel like he got embarrassed because he was, well, he just wasn't down. He didn't want the smoke. He didn't want it. At first he wanted to come on my show and debate and do all these things. And when he found out that it wasn't going to go the way he was hoping, then he kind of backed out. And then the same thing, Reality Steve, who's like a bigger person in the YouTube, I don't even know if Reality Steve is a YouTube guy. I think he's just like a reality TV guy. He offered to have Gingerbread on his show and talk about some of the factual allegations against Owens. It never happened, and I suspect that's probably because it wasn't going to go his way. There's other attorneys and judges way more famous than I who have offered their opinions counter to what Gingerbread has argued in his appellate motions. And specifically with this Judge Mata stuff, how it was, in his opinion, so egregious judicial misconduct that it was the only equitable remedy would have been to overturn the judgment against her. That's basically what he was saying. We're like, okay, well, based off of what? Well, because her dad was there and because she made reference to one small thing that wasn't entered into evidence, that the only way she could have possibly known that is by conducting an independent investigation. And if she hadn't done that investigation, then she would have ruled in our favor, which is essentially what he was trying to argue. That was pretty much what the bar would have been for him to prevail in any of these motions. And I feel like really politely went back and said, yeah, I don't think, you know, fair play. She referenced I think it was the hours of operation of a Planned Parenthood that Owens claimed to have been at that she couldn't have been at or something like that. I forget specifically what it was. But I said, yeah, fair play. That never came up in evidence. But was that so connected to the final judgment that we have to throw the whole thing out? No, I don't think it was, because that was like at the tail end of like 50 different things of why Judge Mata was ruling the way that she was going to rule. And yet he carries on, and I'm the idiot. And, Dave Neal is the idiot, and Lauren Knighty is the idiot, and all these other people, JFC Colton, all these people, all of you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're going to see, you're going to be so sorry when this is over. And he's threatening lawsuits, and he's threatening defamation lawsuits, and he's subpoenaing Redditors and carrying on this way. And all of these things. And so now we just said, okay, fine. Look, I don't have any dogs in this fight, man. I'm not getting paid by Laura Owens to do this shit. I am simply an objective observer, as I've always been, since I started covering this case. I want to say it was back in April of last year. Gosh, it's almost been a year. How time flies. But since I've got involved with this case, I have to say that David Gingerbread is the most oddball attorney that I've ever encountered take on a public case. And to the extent that he was ever to be taken seriously, he kind of shattered any auspice of that when, you know, he made it a point prior to trial to start like having these YouTube comment battles or Twitter battles with online folks just looking for the truth. Bruce says, Omar's bars are like a lava lamp fire. These DSG's rhymes are like a cold flat tire. He'll ring the bell and declare a win. Omar has the crown and the appeal is in the bin. Mama Spaghetti, I throw up over my on the Eminem song. I'm not a rapper. I'm not going to try to do the Eminem thing. All I'm saying is Gingerbread has had a propensity for making himself look like a fool throughout this case. I haven't had to do anything. Look, I offered to do like legitimate legal discourse. Let's just talk about the cases. Let's examine some of the legal questions. I felt it might have been very beneficial for him to know that if he's relying on this premise that one, the invocation of a singular rule for sanctions somehow supersedes all other available avenues to sanctions, doesn't seem legally cognizable. And what about all these other cases that where it happened without incident or issue? And then he's like, no, you're dead to me. He basically told me to F off. Okay. And then he made I made an appearance in his Christmas video where I got like coal in my stocking or something. So, you know, long history with this guy. Going back to this. So these are some of the things. We don't get to see the whole thing. Maybe there's a time in the future where the entire complaint will be published. When that is, I have no idea. No idea. Maybe never. But we have this. This is kind of what he's trying to convince the panel of in this motion. So as explained, he has clear, irrefutable proof showing stuff. All right. So second, due to the extremely high-profile nature of this case, the trial was attended by at least 100 spectators. As explained in the affidavit submitted in support of my notice of change of judge, after the trials, many spectators reported on video that judge the trial and at least one participant claimed that blank told them he had discussed the facts of this case with blank. And this individual claimed again on video that blank told him judge printed out documents from this case and shared them with me. What documents would have been really important, because I feel like everybody and anybody who was interested in this case whatsoever had all the documents with this case. I mean, these things are public record. You can just go and download them. Any of you watching this right now can go to the website and download these documents without issue. Not only that, but they're all over the internet. You could just find them. I don't even think you have to go to the courthouse websites anymore. Upon hearing this information recorded on video in the parking lot after the trial, one spectator urged others not to repeat these comments because blank. Based on this information, I have filed a notice for change of judge for cause, and I will be filing additional motions seeking to vacate and stuff. My client has been extremely traumatized by these events and by judge fallacious disregard, callous disregard for her rights. Blank will agree to provide any additional information. Okay. And then there wasn't much more information. Well, that we can see anyway. This is a form. This is, I guess, the beginning of his motion that he filed. Case summary background and stuff. Professional pregnancy test, 5 pregnancy tests, the stuff that we've already seen. And then they just, there's nothing here to say. They just said, it's not enough. Sorry, guy. Judge Mata has been exonerated. Whatever you're claiming is wrong. But if you hear Gingerbread say it, I mean, I listened to it headphones, and what I heard, I could not believe my ears. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up on end. As I also mentioned in the comments on that Twitter post, the guy talks in clickbait, like all of these. He has these sensationalist sentences that he likes to spout out. And, I could not believe this is the most egregious legal fallacy I've ever seen, I've ever run into. This is bullshit. We must remove Judge Mata. We will prevail on appeal. You see, the problem is when all of those things don't come to fruition, at every single juncture. Look, Gingerbread is a guy. He's had a long career. You don't have to be a good attorney to have a long career. You don't even have to be a good attorney to have a high profile case. Because the truth is that Owens, before she ran into David Gingerbread, had, you know, scores of other attorneys who had evaluated the facts in her case and decided that they couldn't stick on. They couldn't represent her. There was one attorney, at least on one occasion, that had to basically write a addendum to the court. Hey, just so you know, at the time when I wrote these things, I didn't know that these other things were the case. Basically just trying to say, I wasn't trying to suborn perjury, which would be something where you could lose your license off of. Any reasonable attorney would have approached the case differently than David Gingras. And now you have a guy who is really, really, I don't know. It appears to me that the guy is starving for attention. He really wants to be famous. And whatever little fame and notoriety came out of representing Laura Owens, he was ready to just run with it. And he bathed in it. And it didn't matter if it was negative, good or bad. He just liked the attention. But at every juncture, he said he's going to win the trial. He lost the trial. He said he was going to get the Judge Mata removed. He failed doing that. He files his complaint against Judge Mata, and it doesn't work out. He's filing this appeal. Everybody that I've spoken with, now he has claimed that there's two other nationally renowned attorneys that have looked at it and came to the same conclusion he has. Great. I don't know who they are. I've never heard. And hey, maybe they know something that all these other attorneys don't know, but everybody else seems to think that he's due for a loss in this appeal. I gave a whole analysis of his appeal with my friend Steven, the lawyer. Maybe when the actual results come out, we'll cover that again. But until then, there's not really been much to talk about other than dunking on Gingras for failing to get Judge Mata removed like he said he would. He said he had clear and irrefutable evidence. At some point, this is what I know about law, and you see this a lot in some of the other cases that I'm covering. I mean, credibility is everything. If people know you to be a liar, they're not going to trust you. And in a business where it is your job to persuade the finders of fact that you are the one to trust and be truthful, every single time you open your mouth, it's a lie and a verifiable lie at that. And every time you try to say you're going to deliver results and you fail to deliver, your reputation is going to take a hit. Now, look, I don't know. I know that there is a lot of noise going on around David Gingras behind the scenes. Not so much with this case anymore because the case is kind of over. We're just kind of waiting on the results. But, I mean, there were bar complaints after bar complaint filed against the guy. Judge Mata herself filed a bar complaint against him. I don't know what happened with that. There were, I don't know who all the individual people were, but there were complaints stacked upon complaints complaining about the conduct of David Gingras. Now, it's okay. You're allowed to be a dick to anybody that's not your client or whatever, but it is not common for a legal community. And over there in Arizona, you have a legal community to kind of just pause and take note that what is this effing guy up to? It's not a common thing. I don't think I've ever heard of any singular case of a judge filing a bar complaint against an attorney. I know they can do that. I know they can. I know they're required to let the bar association know about if certain things happen. Like, for example, if an attorney gets convicted of a felony, then I think that they have to alert the bar that, hey, this guy's an attorney and I just convicted him of a felony. And just so you know, also the attorney's supposed to self-report in that instance. And so, I think that people are looking at Gingerbread sideways because he's not a trustworthy man. And in a case that started out as, oh, look at all the bad things that Laura Owens has done. People still have that tenor to it, but now the fascination, I don't know, maybe it's genius on his part to just act so ludicrously to take all of the negative attention off of his client and put it right on his shoulders. If that was his intent, then I guess you've done the job because, I think that at this point, and I've certainly made the opinion on multiple occasions, I think that Laura Owens is in trouble with this guy. I think that he is preying on her need to be believed. And he's selling her bridges over Madison County. And she's like, hell yeah. And take my money. And he's rolling with it. And he's filing these appeals. that to me appear to have no legal merit. Maybe they do. I mean, maybe there's arguments, there's small arguments made about certain issues here and then that would overturn a judgment. Not that I've seen. Not that anybody else has seen either. And if I'm wrong, I would be the first, hey, well, fuck, I didn't know. I didn't think it was going to work out. Turns out it did. Turns out some other legal theory was more important than other legal theories. And that's usually the way that that works. I've been wrong before, but I'm not here claiming to be the soothsayer, all-knowing of all legal decisions and determinations. And I think if he were to probably talk to Gingerbread, he'd probably tell you that. The problem is he presents himself a certain way to certain people. And he's a used car salesman, man. What do they do when you walk into the used car salesman lot or a car salesman in general? What do they do? Oh, how are you doing, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? It's such a pleasure to meet you. That is such a lovely suit that you're wearing. Oh, I can't, man, you must have scoured the earth. I got to tell you, man, that really makes you look like aces over there. Let me tell you, what are you looking for? Oh, I just think I'm going to get this family car. Oh, I can see you want to get that car. That's fine. You can take that car, but man, I think I got the perfect thing for you. Now, look. Forget about budget. Just imagine you're going to sit in this car and imagine you taking your wife and your children in this car and they start doing, you know, the full court press and they start getting ingratiating themselves to you and playing on what they perceive to be your emotional weaknesses because they're trying to get them to like you. And as soon as they're in, as soon as you guys are friends, then it's easier for them to convince you to do stupid things like buy a car that you can't afford. No, don't worry about a 12% APR rate. Oh, don't worry about that. What's more important, your money or your kid's safety? Let me tell you something. If you were to get in a car accident and you were in a lesser car and something were to happen to your children, would you rather have the APR or your money? All right, I'll bring the contract right over. We'll get this signed right away. Right away. I feel like the way that he's representing Owens, just from what I've observed in the snippets of YouTube videos where they're both on stream together. He does a really good job of telling her what she wants to hear, but I don't know meanderings of what they talk about back and forth behind the scenes. But it just feels like he gives her false hope. And for what cost? I wonder, I really am so curious about how much he's charging her for this. Now, he might tell you, oh, I'm not charging or anything. Oh, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. If he were to tell me that and the reason behind it was because he's trying to gain the notoriety and he likes the fame or whatever, then fine. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe. He's doing it all for publicity. But to the extent that you're jeopardizing your license, like there's a really good chance that I think that this guy is going to be disciplined by the state bar when all these things are said and done. At some point when they conclude their investigation into whatever it is that they're looking at, they may either suspend or revoke his license. Or a period of time, maybe not permanently. I don't know. But I would not be comfortable doing the things that he's doing in public. I don't know any other attorneys that would do the same. And he's placed himself in this position. To what effect? I don't know. But this is another example of David Gingras taking an L. Now, if you ask him, whatever to that, they don't know what they're talking about. And you know what? I'm just going to file another one. I'll just file another complaint. How about that? I bet you'd probably say something like that. He's never going to admit to defeat. He will never admit to defeat, no matter how final the judgment is. And if somehow comes to pass that the judgment against him stands because his appeal fails, he's going to say that the appellate panel was wrong. He's going to try to bring it to the Supreme Court. I don't think this is getting hurt by the Supreme Court, but that effing guy is going to try. I bet you. Oh. Anyway, Tiffany says it doesn't matter if they win the appeal because we already know what she's done. There's nothing she can do to change her past. She has to take accountability and work on herself. I mean, that would be the advisable thing to do. The advisable thing to do if I was representing her would be, look, you could file the appeal. I don't see much merit to it. But, you know, if I was creative enough, maybe I could make like a Rule 26 argument like David Gingras tried to do, not understanding the differences between civil sanctions and family law sanctions and, you know, whatever. And I've heard him say it, but not until after the appeal is over, before he milks another 50 grand out of her, or maybe more realistically her family. I don't know. There's a lot of attorneys that do that. They say, look, there's a chance he could win. but it's going to cost you another $50,000. I could do this motion to vacate your criminal plea. And you know what we're going to base it on? We're going to base it on the fact that you're a Spanish speaker and they gave you the plea in English. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Fine. Yeah, and they'll convince them, look, if you don't do this, if there's no other chance you're going to get deported, so this is your last chance, they know good and well that it's going to get denied. Why? Because there's an interpreter there present, and it says so in the minute order. Not only did they give it to them in Spanish, they wrote it in English, and then they interpreted it in Spanish, and they had it certified on the record, and it was under oath, and it was in their native language. So this idea that they didn't understand what they were doing because it was written in a different language is defeated because you have a Spanish speaker literally in their ear interpreting every word, and it's certified and all these kinds of things. No, they would know that and charge them $50,000 anyway and go after the motion and lose and take their money and sleep like a baby, vacationing on an island in Barbados or something. I don't know. I've seen attorneys do it. It's disgusting. It's the reason why I decided when I was a very young attorney, like maybe 1 or 2 years in, I was forced to do some immigration cases, which was just, if you're unfamiliar, it's like there's no winning those cases. Like they have things that they can say to try to stay in the country, but they don't have a legal basis. They're going to get deported. Then you got to be the one to tell their family that their loved ones are getting deported. And it just got really depressing really fast. But I've seen fast talking immigration attorneys try to talk prospective clients that they know have no shot in hell and staying in the country legally. And they'll say, yeah, we'll give it a shot for $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever they charge. And they pay it, because what else are they going to do? And then when they lose, they get deported anyway. So they can't even make bar complaints about it. Or they can, but you know, what's the use of that? Lots of shady attorneys out there. Gingerbread appears to me, in my opinion, to be one of them. But hey, at least he was on Dr. Phil once or whatever he was planning. He says that he wants to retire in a couple years. Maybe that's the reason why he's just like going scorched earth on the legal field. And if that's the case, I guess I kind of respect it. Good for you, man. Scorch the earth, get suspended, and then go F off to Europe. You're their problem now. And then go live amongst the ruins. Go take in all of the sites and the museums and whatever, and do whatever you got to do. Just leave innocent people alone. Maybe. We'll see. Mojo says, after Trump, the European will think twice letting such a person in. I don't know. I don't know what Europe thinks about a guy like that. I'd imagine they take him. Anyway, that's what's going on with Dave and Gingras.